Michigan, from Houghton Hancock to Ludington to Ann Arbor. This is the Michigan Talk Network, the fearless pursuit of the truth.
Everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes.
All right, it's Thursday. Good to have you here. And following the ongoing and building crisis between the Russians and Ukraine, the Russians have detained ships and made military moves, and one would wonder what's next. My next guest has great insight and great experience in the region. Todd Wood here, editor-in-chief of Tsarism.com and the threat assessment for the Washington Times. Todd, welcome back.
Good to be back, Steve. Thank you.
It's been a while. This is your wheelhouse. This is where you operate. This is the place you know best. What do you make of the situation?
Well, there's two things going on. Both nations are at fault. Russia has been very aggressive. They've, as you know, annexed the Crimean Peninsula. They've started a war in Donbas region of East Ukraine where 10,000 people have died. They have blocked Ukrainian shipping once they completed the Kerch Bridge, but in the Kerch Strait into the Sea of Azov, which there are a lot of Ukrainian ports where they need to obviously bring ships in to trade with the world. So on the other hand, however, Petro Poroshenko, who's the president of Ukraine, is up for re-election next year, and he's losing. So this was a very convenient incident for him in that it caused the public to take a look at him as more of a military leader and as a problem. Do we really want to change leadership during the middle of a war? And so, I think he pushed this to make this happen, and it did. And Russia responded as they, everyone thought they might. So that's what I think is going on.
So you think there's a lot of political motivation on both sides of this flare-up? I don't know what I call it. I'll call it a flare-up because it hasn't turned into a hot war yet, obviously. But how close are we? I mean, politics on both sides.
It's very hot, Steve, in Donbas. I mean, people are dying every day. There's artillery duels primarily. It's trench warfare. The front line barely moves, and they just lob shells at each other. And, two or three soldiers die per week on each side. You don't hear a lot about it, but it's a hot war in Europe. And the Estonian president, who was a former Soviet republic, said, we need to call this what it is. It's a war in Europe, which is exactly true. So
why do we not hear about it?
That people don't talk about it.
Why do we not hear about it? I mean, why is nobody talking
about
it?
All the time. I think the mainstream media just has a narrative they want to push, and maybe this doesn't fit, or they're just too concerned about, porn stars and the creepy porn lawyer. I mean, I don't know. It's just very strange. And that's what we're trying to do, is highlight a lot of these issues that people really need to follow and be aware of.
I agree with that. So it's a shooting war, an actual war. And if you're lobbing shells back and forth and people are being killed on a weekly or daily basis on either side of the line, then yes, that would qualify as a war, a low grade war at this point. But what would it take for it to become? Because from where I stand, Todd, and this is your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. It looks to the average individual like myself that Vladimir Putin has designs on recreating the Soviet Union by putting blocks back together. Ukraine, Estonia, Georgia, whatever it is, one mm-hmm. building piece at a time. And Ukraine looks like the most likely target to begin with. Am I right or wrong?
Well, I would correct you. He doesn't want the Soviet Union back. He wants really more of a Tsarist empire back, which we've talked about this before. It's, it used to stretch from Poland to San Francisco. He wants Russian power back. And these areas, these former Soviet republics, like you mentioned, the Baltics, Georgia, Ukraine, you got to realize that, and your readers or listeners need to realize that Russia started in Ukraine. Kiev and, all the Kiev and Rus 1,000 years ago, where they brought Christianity into the East, was overrun by the Mongols, and all the princes went up to this little place called Moscow on the river and started a new city. So these guys are brothers. It's just like Texas in the United States. And all this NATO expansion, where we are moving troops and bases into these areas, is, think about it. What if Mexico, took Texas and and the Russians were arming it against the United States. I mean, that's the way they feel. So people need to understand that encroaching into Russia's near abroad is very dangerous, and Putin is not going to take it. It's a red line.
So where does that leave us then? What is your prognostication at that point?
I think this NATO expansion is crazy. We're talking about bringing Ukraine into NATO. I mean, that is a very dangerous situation, in my opinion. You know, we've armed the Ukrainians, and I've written about this as well. It's kind of a moral hazard. If the Ukrainians feel that, you know, they have the American military behind them, that, you know, they get more aggressive, like we've just seen in the Sea of Azov. So I think this is very dangerous.
Well, let me put it this way. Okay, so the one side of the equation is we don't do anything and don't, you know, work with Ukraine, and Russia potentially tries to take that territory back altogether. Or we do work with Ukraine, and we end up in a shooting war with Russia.
Well, that, I have relatives, I don't want to say who, but relatives in the military that I don't want them dying for Ukraine. I'm sorry. Ukrainians are good people. They, you know, deserve our support, maybe financially, morally. You know, maybe we can have the CIA get them weapons, but open support for Ukraine where we, you know, nobody realizes an American Air Force pilot just died in Ukraine, flying a Ukrainian jet that crashed. He was in the back seat during an exercise. That is a slippery slope. I mean, so we've already had Americans start to die in Ukraine. And all it's going to take is one of these jets on an exercise gets shot down like that, you know, Dutch airliner was shot down in Ukraine in Donbass. And here we go. It's Vietnam all over again.
Nice. I would certainly hope not.
You know, that is my concern.
Yeah, we end up in a proxy war or a shooting war, you know, with Americans and Russians dying on either side.
This is not our fight, in my opinion.
Okay.
I'm sorry. NATO red lines are, you know, if they encroach into NATO territory, it's a red line. But Ukraine, I don't think we should die for Ukraine, to be polite.
Todd Wood, editor-in-chief of Tsarism.com. That's Tsarism.com. You can find him there. And the threat assessment at the Washington Times. Todd, we're going to put you on speed dial as we continue to watch these events unfold, because we need your expertise. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Anytime. Cheers. Take care. Bye.
It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.